Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is good to have you here again today, and if you were with us last time, then you know we resumed our journey with God and Abraham in Genesis chapter 13 in order to get into chapter 14. There are some important details in chapter 13 that we do need to nail down. We will not spend long in this 13th chapter of Genesis because the following chapter will take us time to get through. And because time is at a premium, come along with me now as I read a few verses of Genesis 13, then comment and read some more. Last time we talked about verses 1 through 4, and then I read verses 5 through 9. Let's pick up there now with a short review. Open your Bible and follow along in Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 9. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents. And the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Notice the strife. There is a disagreement, a quarrel, some wrangling between Abram and Lot's herdsmen. And notice, I read this in verse 7, that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in this same land. And these were pagan peoples. So, watching the bickering between Abram and Lot's herdsmen are these Canaanites and Perizzites. Now, what kind of a witness is this to them of who God is? Abram and Lot are brothers. That is, they are men who are closely related to one another, and they have a common tie in Jehovah, the Lord God. Abram and Lot are God's people, and now they have strife right out in the open in front of godless people. Well, this is fast becoming a poor witness to the God who commands that we love one another. So Abram takes action, and he says to Lot, "Let's not have any more of this strife. Let's separate. You go your way, and I will go my way." And then Abram does something very noble, which highlights both his humility and his faith in God. Abram offers Lot to go in whichever direction Lot wishes to go. Abram gives Lot first choice. He did not have to do this. Actually, Abram had precedence, given his age and stature. He was, after all, Lot's uncle, and not the other way around. But Abram yields to Lot. Verse 9, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left." In the margin of your Bible, or in the notes section on that Bible app, note Abram's humility and his faith in God, believing that whatever land is left over following Lot's choice, that pasture land left to Abram will satisfy his flocks and herds. God will provide. When we have that rock-solid faith in God, that He will provide for us no matter what, then we too will be willing to yield to others, to put them first, and give them the freedom to choose the best before us. Let's continue the reading of Genesis 13, now at verse 10. I will read verses 10 and 11. "Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other." We need to spend more time on this part of the chapter because it informs what happens next in Genesis 14. Notice that here Abram and Lot separate. Verse 10 begins, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the valley of the Jordan. Now it is interesting that Moses, the author of Genesis, puts it this way, because Lot did not look up to see the valley of the Jordan. He actually looked down to see that fertile land. By saying Lot lifted his eyes, I believe Moses points to the motivation of Lot's decision. Lot takes advantage of Abram's offer. He jumps at the chance to grab the better pasture land. As a businessman would stand, puff out his chest, look up and let out a triumphant sigh at having bested the competitor, maybe light a cigar. Well, so Lot lifted up his eyes and gave into the lust of them for territory that will, in due course, put him in immense danger. But at this stage, he is proud of what he has chosen, and he is excited to move there. And verse 10 continues, Lot saw all the valley of the Jordan. A better translation of the word valley is a plain. The Hebrew word is kikar. Kikar. The word implies something circular, something round. We could say the area Lot chose was a round district. If you have access to a Bible map, either at the back of your Bible or online, this area would encompass looking down from Bethel to the east and to the south. A few minutes to the southeast of Bethel is a lookout purported to have the best views of Palestine, and from which the Jordan Valley and the northern end of the Dead Sea can be clearly seen. Perhaps it was from there that Lot surveyed the landscape. He would have seen from Jericho down to and including the area where the Dead Sea is, down towards Zoar. The Bible says this area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. The garden of the Lord is a reference to the garden in Eden, so this must have been an absolutely gorgeous area and very attractive to a man with large flocks and herds, livestock that require feeding and watering. And take note that, quote, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, this round plain or valley no longer looks like what Lot saw in Genesis 13. The destruction was so profound when God's judgment descended upon Sodom and Gomorrah that it radically changed the whole landscape. For a moment, listen to Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the valley, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. That's Genesis 19, 24 and 25. When we read that, we can understand why Moses comments, back in Genesis 13, that what Lot saw, territory well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar, that area was no longer like that after God's judgment in Genesis 19. Merrill Unger comments, this is the plain, the circle, the round valley of Jordan as it existed before the catastrophe that destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, now buried under the shallow waters of the southern end of the Dead Sea. The violent earthquake and explosion evidently changed this whole region, which previously was well watered, evidently by numerous springs. So fertile and beautiful was it that it is compared to the garden of the Lord, Eden, and the land of Egypt, where the life-giving waters of the Nile are channeled through the fields to irrigate them. End quote. Now let's finish our brief look at Genesis 13 with verses 12 and 13. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. Verse 12, Abram resettles in the land of Canaan. Later we learn he is to live by the oaks of Mamre in Hebron. Genesis 13, verse 18 reads, "Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord." So at the end of this chapter, Abram is in Hebron, but Lot goes down towards the cities of the valley, moving his tents as far as Sodom. Capture Lot's location. If you take notes, mark this down for chapter 14. Lot is very near Sodom. Trust me, that's going to play a key role in what we will begin to read tomorrow. All right, I think this will set us up nicely for Genesis 14. And let me encourage you to do the following before we meet again tomorrow. Read Genesis 13 and 14 together. These are two chapters, 42 verses in total. It will not take you long. You will be hit with some difficult to pronounce names in chapter 14, but please do not get bogged down with pronunciation. If you will read or listen on the audio Bible to Genesis 13 and 14, you will be much better prepared for our time together in the Word of God. We are learning who God is in the context of Abraham's life, and there is never a dull or insignificant moment in the Genesis. So please invite someone else to join us as we continue along on this journey. We're here each and every weekday on this fine radio station, and you can always get the God Is podcast from our website. So join us tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others. And be sure and join me for the next one.